So I went snowshoeing today. A somewhat friend. He gave me a pair of snowshoes that he said were too small for him. And he's smaller than I am, with smaller feet, and so I don't know what he was thinking, other than that I would never use them, or I don't care about ill-fitting footwear. So I tried them on, and they didn't, of course, they were too small. And a strange arrival, a box on my porch. Inside the box, three sneakers. Not a pair, but three. Three sneakers, old and too small for my feet. But he said that they fit well into the snowshoes, these sneakers. So I've been curious about the snowshoeing, and so I put on my thinnest socks, and I thought to myself, small feet, and I put them into the sneakers, which was a difficult process, not getting them in, but selecting two of the three. None of them matched, so I had to pick the two most likely to be seen together. And it's not pleasant to wear someone's old, small sneakers that don't match to begin with, none of it. There's four or five things wrong with it, even though I can only cite three. But I got them on eventually because that's how it works with shoes. I could wear baby shoes, I'm sure. I don't know why, but they're all very closely the same size. Women's shoes, tiny ones. Some kind of problem in there. All our feet turn out the same. I don't know. So I got those on and then I got them in the snowshoes and I went off. Everything too small, very thin socks, nothing matching, nothing mine. I head out into the woods, very snowy, had a great storm the other night, and for some reason the snow also became very hard on top, as it does. I don't know what accomplishes that, whether the sun melts it and then it freezes again. So I was doing a good deal of that breaking through where it feels like it's a wrestling match of sorts. Each step, the snow holds you a bit, but then breaks. Holds you a bit, breaks. Not a peaceful thing. Bits of snow and ice falling from the trees. And it's a beautiful starry night, just so lovely. It's just nothing in between the earth and the infinity. Nothing. Not a speck of dirt. So I'm out for about an hour. I didn't really enjoy it, but I was testing the concept of snowshoeing and, I suppose, testing the concept of different sneakers. Now, at some point I realised that my toes are very cold, very, very cold. That's not unusual. When you leave off in the winter, your fingers are cold, your hands are cold, your feet are cold, your face. But eventually you get used to it, as you do the seawater or enough activity, and you warm up a little. But so I get home and I take off the small snowshoes and I go in to sit down on the chair and unlace the wretched sneakers, pull them off, and what do I find? Inside the sneaker, around my toes, snow and ice has accumulated. It has somehow gotten through the mesh of these terrible sneakers, these filthy, ill-matched sneakers, so that I have snow literally encased around my toes. And I said out loud to my outraged self, "What is the meaning of this?" It was like a great parliamentary meeting at which I could stand no more, and my outrage brought me into standing. If I had a stick, I would have hit it against the ground, or a gavel, to bring the meeting to a halt. It was a standstill moment for myself, the ice on my toes. Dirty ice, too. Dirty ice that went through the mesh, the filthy mesh. And of course, I realized at the end, I was no closer to understanding whether I had any interest in snowshoeing than before. It's a very bad try. Very bad try at it. Now, the last time I walked, I seemed to have misplaced my automobile. It was right there. I didn't see it. I have another story of loss. Let me see where I should go here. I may walk in the woods. If I can, see how it is here. Oh, that's a bit of a bog there. If only I had my snowshoes. I'll go this way. So the new thing that I have lost, and I have not lost it, I know where it is now, but my wallet. This was 4 or 5 days ago. I have a friend who works in the film business, and I went to see a film that he wrote. And I don't normally see films, but because he wrote it and because I knew that he was writing it all during the writing, and I would hear stories about the experience, I went down. Massive journey, several hours, to the closest theatre that had it on. And I sat and watched the film. Very much enjoyed it. I thought it was delightful. The critics savaged it. Have savaged. So, apparently while I was sitting there in my bucket seat, my wallet simply leapt out of my pocket, and some late night movie janitor picked it up. Now, it took me a long time to realize this. I didn't realize it the day after. I didn't realize it the day after that. 2 whole days without a single care in the world about a wallet. No money thoughts at all. Which is an interesting thing. I didn't know that. I thought perhaps I must always require my wallet. But apparently 2 days can go by and no one knows the better. When I did finally realize this, I did my little search, which is a very dull-witted effort, as I can concentrate on things I've lost. So I look in one place and then I see something and I become interested in that, and I pick up a spoon. Suddenly I'm out walking around, completely forgetting it. I cannot remember what I'm doing, looking for things I don't have, unless I absolutely need them. So, if the fire has gone out and I need the matches and I can't find the matches, the cold constantly reminding me, I'll find them. So I looked and looked and looked in my very poor method of searching. Eventually I thought possibly it fell out, and I called the cinema, and yes, they had it. So now I have to drive these many, many miles back to fetch a wallet that I mostly don't need. Honestly, I don't even want it. I said, how much is inside? He said, $3. I said, what sort of identification is there? He said, there's a library card, a video card for the supermarket, and some scrap pieces of paper. And I said, well, what do you think of this wallet? And he said, it seems very old. And I said, I know it's old, but what do you think? I thought to make a gift of it. Even the $3. But I own it. I own it. So it's mine. And in some ways, it is as though I have littered very publicly upon the earth, and I must go claim my litter. A candy bar wrapper with my name on it somewhere, someone has found and held it up, said, look, this is Sherwin Sleeve's Baby Ruth. We can't have this. Now, what's a little strange to me... Oh, it's not strange, but the film is The Secret Life of Walter Mitty. Everyone's familiar enough with that story, I think. It doesn't need a recap. A man who daydreams, etc. And it seemed odd to me, as though I went to see a film about an absent-minded professor. And then, while watching the film, I did something very absent-minded professory. Irritates me. Because it seemed like the sort of thing that the lead character would do. Lose his wallet in a movie theatre. I don't think much about critics, film critics. I don't know how they do what they do. The world that they're in as they do it. What they talk about when they're together. Whether they have agendas, grudges, gripes. Whether they're all somehow fallen out of the world of film, ended up as critics of it, and so have that orneriness inside them. Because I saw the film, I found it absolutely delightful. I was inside it the entire time, in that magical way of films, where I dissolved and was no longer myself. My wallet fell out of my pocket, even leapt from me as I lost my identity in that of the film. And then I got home and I was so pleased with it, I wanted to see how it was faring. And I thought, oh, I'll read all these wonderful reviews and this will be likely making my friend feel very good about it all. His many year long project that devastated his entire timeline. Just all out. For years. 7 days a week. 1,000 hours a day. Flying here and there and everywhere. Only to find this great and abundant abuse of the film, which I couldn't find any kind of sympathy for. I generally, if I see a film and that I see a review that's negative, I can somewhat follow it. But these reviews seem principally mean-spirited, as though they didn't like my friend, or they didn't like the director, as though they needed to not like it and knew they wouldn't like it, and there it is. Or someone told them not to like it. I don't ever believe in that kind of thing. But I felt as though I had experienced an entirely different film. One that could not really be disliked in these ways. There were claims that the first half was strong, the second went somewhere strange, or that it was the oddest film one reviewer had ever seen. Not to me. I thought it was lovely and idiosyncratic and very sweet, and it went where it wanted to go. It was very heartfelt. It cared after the audience. And it cared after an idea that I care about. Which I don't need to see films that follow my own personal philosophy at all. That's nice. And so now I keep going up to the car thinking, well, I'll make my great journey down to fetch the wallet. But the terrible truth is that there's hardly any gas in the car. A gallon? I don't know. It's always on the light. That's when I have to figure out this convoluted way of getting gasoline in the car without having any money to do so. Borrow it. Borrow $8 from the shoe fellow. I'd return him his snowshoes and his 3 sneakers and then request $8. Is that enough, I wonder, to get me to my wallet? My Baby Ruth candy bar, my name on it. Don't we all have these problems? Snowshoes, dirty 3 sneakers, lost wallets, savage critics. Thank you.